Welcome to Business Spotlight on Money Radio WPSE. Business Spotlight is heard weekly at this time on 1450 AM and 107.1 FM. Today's guests are Dr. Chris Gray, founding president of the Erie County Community College, and Amy Murdoch, director of government affairs for the Erie Regional Chamber and Growth Partnership. On today's edition of Business Spotlight, it's a discussion about the Erie County Community College, and we're going to be speaking with the new president, Dr. Chris Gray, momentarily. But first, we are with Amy Murdoch from the Erie Regional Chamber and Growth Partnership. Amy, as always, we appreciate you being with us today. What is the Chamber's position on the Erie County Community College?
Thanks so much. We always enjoy the time and love the opportunity to get our message out to the business community. So the Chamber's position on the Erie Community College is, you know, we've been a supporter for a number of years now. You know, we really tried to activate the business community to help advocate for the designation of the community college. We truly feel it will be a critical workforce development asset that is the top priority and need for our businesses here, particularly as we're trying to recover from the pandemic. So once again, we view this as a great, unique asset for our business community that will really drive growth and economic recovery here.
Both yourself and Chamber President James Grunke have been strong advocates for the community college. I would imagine that he echoes the same sentiments as yourself.
That's right. We worked, you know, the two of us and the whole team and members of our board worked really hard to try to support. And again, we came in a little bit, you know, there are a number of community members in Power Erie, the county administration, county council, that were all working really hard on this initiative. And we really did our best to try to be supportive.
Amy, how has the Chamber been involved in advocating for the Erie County Community College?
Our board took a formal position a couple of years ago in support of the college. We did issue a couple of formal position statements over the past couple of years in support of the designation. You know, our CEO was invited to testify, you know, in part of the hearings with the State Board of Education. We submitted our own written testimony to the State Board of Education as well. But again, our role as the business community was to really show the need and the value of the community college and how this can help advance growth here in the region.
What will the Chamber's role be in the continued success of the college?
You know, once again, we view this as a really critical workforce development asset. And, you know, the reason why we feel this is so important is one, workforce is the top need of our business community. But secondly, as part of our function as business attraction, the labor talent pool and assets like a community college are really top criteria that site selectors, when they're looking at communities to come and set up new businesses or expand, the quality of the labor pool, the quality of the workforce development assets, those are two really top criteria. And the college and Empower Erie and the county administration earned some recognition from the National Site Selectors Guild in an award that they won this past spring for their efforts in developing the community college. So again, our role is really to continue to be a strong partner with the college, work with the employers and the businesses to help inform some of the curriculum and some of the partnerships that the college has with the private sector. It's really important to us that any workforce assets we have, that graduates of that program have jobs to go to. It's also important to us that our members and our business community has the talent that they need to grow and be successful. And so that is really our role, is to be that conduit between both the business community and our workforce development assets, to try to match the needs and efforts of both and really try to create that pathway for success and growth, both for students and for our business community.
And now we're going to welcome in Dr. Chris Gray to join our discussion. Dr. Gray, welcome to Erie and congratulations on your new role as president of the Erie County Community College.
Hey, thank you so much. I'm excited to be here. It's been a hectic 3 or 4 weeks, but we got a future change here. So I'm excited to be able to jump in and help out where I can.
Dr. Gray, before we dive into this, can you tell our listeners a little bit about your background?
Sure. So I grew up in a small town in central Illinois that was rural in nature. So it's a farming culture, heavy manufacturing back in the days I grew up. But unfortunately, like across the rest of the Midwest, most of those manufacturing plants started to phase out one at a time. And so I grew up in a town. My town actually feels a lot like Erie, but I make the distinction that Erie feels like a larger version of my town, but there's hope. There's a sense of people wanting to make this better, to make it bring new business back in, to take that hard work, those core values of people, and really put that to work. So I wasn't on the track to go to college. I grew up on the wrong side of the proverbial tracks for that. Most of the folks that I grew up with still live in that neighborhood, still doing the same types of work that their parents did, still living very similar lifestyles. But I was blessed to be pushed and challenged by some teachers. And ultimately, it's an embarrassing story, but I like to share it. I chased a girl off. I was dating a girl who was going to college and told me I should come to college with her. So I did. And about 3 weeks into the fall semester, she dumped me. And it was the best mistake I've ever made. My world opened immediately when I started that community college. I saw different ways of thinking, different ideologies, different people, introduced to ideas and concepts I didn't even know really existed. My world got much bigger. And so because that was such an impactful part of my life, I've dedicated my entire career to helping others hopefully achieve some semblance of whatever, however they choose to expand their world.
Dr. Gray, can you share your thoughts about what attracted you to Erie and to the challenge of being the first president of the Erie County Community College?
Well, so it's a two-part question there, and I appreciate that. So I've been a tourist here in Erie a number of times. First, by accident, you know, when my kids were younger, my deal was I wanted to get 8 to 12 hours of driving wherever we went. And so the rule was we'd get to a hotel and we'd get up and we'd do one tourist activity in whatever town we stayed in the next morning, and we'd hit the road. And if I'd let them have that one activity, if they gave me that 8 hours without too many, are we there yet, questions. We were coming back from New York somewhere, and we stopped here in Erie, and we chose Presque Isle as our tourist thing. And at the time, I didn't really realize the significance of Presque Isle. And we had such a blast that actually as a family, we've come back and visited a number of times. So I've always been drawn to Erie as a city. To me, it's a city. Remember, I grew up in a town of 15,000. So it reminds me of Peoria, Illinois, you know, heavy industrial, good people, honest people, good, hardworking people. So I've always been drawn to that. So I was familiar-ish with Erie, not a lot about what I need to be familiar with as a college president, but I knew that the town, I felt like I could see myself living there. And then honestly, my entire academic career, I have been trying to break down barriers. Colleges are built and designed for those who have, and in some ways, it's kind of a good old boys club, right? Community colleges say, to heck with that. Community college says college is for everyone. It changes everyone's life. So I've been working very hard to break down barriers to make post-secondary more accessible for students. And so the opportunity to start a brand new college where we can build processes, where we can build a culture, where we can hire a staff who start with that goal of helping a student at the forefront, that's a once in a career opportunity for me. So that's really what drew me out. I sat down and had a long, hard conversation with my children. It wasn't the right time in my career for a move. Actually, today, as we're recording this, my youngest son started his junior year of high school. I'd always assumed that I would just stay there until he graduated high school and then see where my career took me. But this was such an amazing opportunity. He encouraged me. He said, Dad, it's your dream job. Do it. So I put my name in the hat and saw where it went. And, you know, 6 months later, here I am. And I'm thrilled with that decision every day. The Erie folks have been the hospitality, the everyone reaching out saying, how can I help? I tell you, those are good people. I'm glad to be a part of that. And I hope one day I'm extending that to the next new person in town. And hopefully one day I'll earn my Erieite card.
I'm sure it won't take you very long to earn that card, Dr. Gray. Thank you for sharing that terrific story about the road that brought you here to Erie. Moving on to the next question, how have you partnered with industry and businesses in your previous roles with community colleges?
Well, so, and I know there was a lot of good, hearty discussion about, is the community college just going to replicate what's happening here with the great landscape of higher education in the greater Erie region or Erie County? And the answer is no, it's not. Community colleges, one thing you'll hear, I've told my board this, you can measure my success in terms of jobs, not degrees, not enrollment, jobs. am I training people for high-skilled, in-demand, livable wage jobs? Am I meeting with employers? Am I helping them solve their workforce dilemma? So I really see community college as a tool for economic development. And if for your audience, they certainly know, but if I can solve workforce, I've solved about 75% of all challenges in economic development. When you're dealing with a company coming in and saying, I'm thinking about investing in this town, I'm going to have some infrastructure questions, I'm going to have some regulation questions, but more importantly, I got some workforce questions. I'm going to need workers. How do we do that? The community colleges, we are literally at the table with those folks. So we work very closely with our business and industry partners. I'm going to give you a litany of kind of things here that we do, because part of that is I'm going to be reaching out to lots of your listeners and asking them to help us form this. So you'll see, we're going to soon be forming what we call industry councils. And I'm going to actually work with the chamber. Amy's already started a lot of this work. But what we need to do is we need to be in the room when these folks working in similar industry get together and start talking about what they're doing. So we understand, what are the upcoming trends? What are the challenges? What do we need to be thinking about 2 to 3 to 5 years out as we start to think about how do we help shape that workforce for those growing industries? But then more particularly, where I'm going to be reaching out to lots of your companies here in the area, every degree we have, we're going to create a program advisory board. And what that is, so let me suppose we have a networking degree. So we're going to form a program advisory board. What I'm going to need is I need to say, hey, who's doing networking in your company? I need them to come join us in a meeting, whether it's virtual or in one of our facilities, a couple times a year. And I'm going to ask those experts, the folks that are doing that, first of all, here's what we think we should be teaching. Will you look at it? Is this right? What's missing? What's not there? What do we need to be doing more of? What can we back off of because the industry's changing? What are the trends that are happening in your particular field? What's keeping you up at night? When you think out about 2 to 3 years, what are those new things coming? Are we doing the training? And then also, we ask things like, are we training on the right equipment, right? Industry changes much faster than higher education. So those partnerships are critical with that. But that's kind of at the macro level. I also think if we look at the micro level, community colleges play a really important role. I came out of a community college that was in the northwest suburbs, far northwest suburbs of Chicago. So borderline suburbs, borderline rural, heavy metal manufacturing, heavy plastic injection manufacturing in that area, heavy, heavy healthcare. We were the glue that held folks together in many cases. Right. We pulled people in. We worked with David DeLong's a national scholar who talks about how industries can collaborate to really make a difference in local economies. So our role in that was we actually went out, got the support of some of the big CEOs in the area that could get the support from some of the smaller shops that don't always have the time to sit down and have those long conversations about where's this industry sector in our area going? What are our shared collective needs? We were able to bring in Dr. DeLong, and we actually said a kind of amazing thing happened there. We got all these steel manufacturers sitting down with all of our K-12 partners and all of our higher education partners, and we started talking and listening and understanding. And we found we often think that company X is a competitor of company Y. And we do that sometimes. Sometimes company X will throw, I'm going to throw 25 cents onto the base pay to try to recruit workers. Well, they do that. They come from company Y. Company Y says, well, now I need a strategy. I'll throw 50 cents on. And what we find is those workers go back and forth. That doesn't always benefit the sector as a whole. So one of the things we were able to do by creating that sense of collaboration is people started sharing and talking. A couple of real tangible deliverables came out of that, which are going to sound like dumb moments, but they made a difference in McHenry County back in Illinois. You know what we did? We created a contact list. Who's your current HR director at these companies? Who's your operations manager? Who's your facility director? So when someone's struggling with something, they typically may not have reached across that line and called a different company, but now they've got a name. You know, if you're your plant manager and you're having a tough time thinking about how you're going to implement and, you know, you're going to shift to a different brand PLC or something, and you're not sure how that transition will go, to be able to talk to a peer who's gone through that is something that's very helpful. So we just created that sense of network for them, and they started talking and sharing. Then some other really cool things came. Everyone's short workforce. Everyone. I don't talk to a single company. It doesn't make a difference what industry you're talking. Everyone will tell me I need more people. But you know what? Every company out there is not hiring people every day, right? Sometimes they're not hiring them because they're not skilled. Sometimes they're not hiring them because they lack the soft skills or the professionalism. But a lot of times they're not hiring them because it's not a right fit. But you know what? If someone expresses an interest in working in any certain sector, there's a good likelihood that they didn't pick the company individually. They picked that type of atmosphere. So what we had is, I'm going to call out a great friend of mine, Scott Forge. They would say, hey, you're not going to fit in our culture of this heavy, you know, massive forging things the size of cars. I think you'd be better down working at Duravar, which is a pulled iron facility. So you know what they did when they didn't hire him? They picked up that resume. They sent it over to Duravar and said, hey, this person applied. We know they're interested in working in manufacturing. They probably are going to be a good fit for one of our companies. We started sharing employees. All of a sudden, we started to fill a void. So it's just a little bit of that type of role that we play there. But we also do really, really in the weeds things. We have a couple great companies up in the north part of our last county that really want to invest in their employees and get them those associate's degrees. So we actually designed a program where we offer an associate of applied science and advanced manufacturing in the break rooms at those companies. So these companies invested in their employees. They said, hey, well, you know what? You take this time off work. You go in the break room. Right there in the break room, so I'm not pulling you too far off. So as soon as class is over, you can jump back on the line. We can't afford to lose too much production. We get those folks excited. They get working. We actually graduated now over 200 people from one of those cohorts. In fact, one of the graduates is now the CEO of the company. Just recently, we added on to that. We have 200 folks with associate's degrees. Well, now they want to go into management, so they need baccalaureate degrees. Tell me an adult worker who can stop their life and go off to college for 2 years when you're raising kids or caring for your family and you're already working full-time plus probably picking up a couple extra overtime shifts every week. So we reached out to one of the local state universities and helped that state university understand the model that we offer right in their training room so it fits the context and culture, and we make everything real about those companies. So the list goes on and on and on.
A lot of what you just said is going to be music to the ears of our listeners, in particular the business owners that we work with that have been begging for years for qualified, trained workers. Why is it critical that the college form strong partnerships with these businesses?
So if you think about what the role of a community college is, there's a public good and a private good to it. The private good is the student walks out of here with their life changed. The story I shared about how college opened my world, that was a private good that benefited me. But the flip side of that is why we as social networks, business connections do it, is there's a public good to that. When you have someone who's from the area, who has ties here, who can get skilled up, who can help a company increase production, can bring in lean manufacturing processes or bring in training in the new ISO, whatever's out there, all of a sudden that business grows. And then what happens? The businesses get strong. So then you get more subsidiary businesses coming into the area. And then people say, well, wait, that's a hotspot for blank. And then all of a sudden you become known for that and you become a regional power horse in that. So that partnership, we are the community's college. You'll hear me say this often. It's not a community college. We are the community's college. We are here to serve the community. So while we focus a lot on the student for that personal gain, really the metrics that you all can hold us accountable for, are we helping Erie County reach its goals? And that is clear. I mean, we've seen the work with the study that recently came out from the chamber. We've got a good blueprint of how we need to move forward. Now we just need to step up, start to introduce folks to these high demand areas and get them plugged in there.
Anything further that you would like to add on how businesses can engage with the community college?
Absolutely. Right now, our number one focus is we have classes starting September 1. We're on a skeleton crew. We are a startup business, right? And if you got business owners, they'll appreciate this. Last night at 7 o'clock, I was at Walmart buying cleaning supplies, because the graciousness of a building owner has allowed us to use some empty space temporarily, but we don't have cleaning service in it. So I'm down there scrubbing some toilets and emptying some trash last night. So we are short-staffed at this point, but as all startups, and we're focused on that. Soon after we get that, you're going to see I'm going to be hiring someone whose number one responsibility will be workforce development. And they will be out there working with our chamber partners, working with the economic development in the area. as soon as what we're going to need at that point, that's when we're going to start to form those industry and advisory councils. And that's when I'm going to really need, I need some commitment. I need some commitment to share some of your expertise. I'm also going to know, we know that experiential learning, when they learn hands-on, it's so much more meaningful. I know taking on an apprentice, whoever's going to supervise that apprentice in the hands-on, it's going to slow them down a little bit, right? They're going to have to explain more. They're going to have to explain multiple times. That's critical, guys. If we want to grow and continue that pipeline of workers, I'm going to need you as business owners out there to make that a value in your company, to invest in that future generation of workforce. We'll do everything we can on our end. I know everywhere I go, I hear the soft skills are a problem. I've heard this for 15 years. We have worked hard on it in higher education, but we struggle just like all the companies out there. So I'm going to need that level of commitment. And really, my answer is always yes. I don't know how we're going to make that happen, but just know that. So if you have a crazy idea, don't be afraid to reach out. Let us know. You'll be working with a lot of our deans, a lot of our faculty in these areas. Let's dream. How do we make Erie County better? There is no blueprint for a startup college. There is no blueprint for revitalizing Erie County, creating the next greatness of Erie. The Rust Belt has come and is gone in my mind. So what's next for us, right? We don't have a clear path forward with that. So just know that we as your community's college are here to work with you and figure that out together.
This will be a two-part question for you, Dr. Gray. Over the next year, can you lay out a blueprint in regards to some of your priorities in getting the college off the ground? Secondly, what will success look like in the short term and the long term for the Erie County Community College?
Well, that's a great question. And those are the things that are keeping me up at night, every night. So right now it's operational. For all of you that have started the business, you certainly understand where we are. I think I was employee number 3 with the college, and we're up to employee number 9 starts a week from today. We have we already have a significant number of students, more students than we anticipated, have already applied to the college. So right now, the short-term deliverables are, I got classes up September 1. We've got 4 locations we're offering classes at. I am 100% focused on operational. Do I have the technological infrastructure ready to support those students? Do I have the physical infrastructure? Do I have the human resources infrastructure? So short term, it is simply, we've got to get these classes up and going. Now, that's short term. That's a mighty task in a short time frame, but that's the easy part. It's just work. We just have to keep working and figure it out and get people hired and serve those students. The longer term goals and how you're going to measure that success gets a lot harder. I want to talk 5 years out, because it's going to take us a couple of years to get this up. When this board decided to hire me, I told them, you can look back and we can look at the unemployment rate in Erie. You can look at how many new businesses have been attracted to Erie County? How many companies have been able to scale up their workforce or increase their internal knowledge and decrease their reliance on external consultants because we were able to provide training? Those are the types of metrics that I think are important for a community college. I'm also going to have the other metrics. I'm going to want to know what was my enrollment, how many people graduated, but really, am I making a difference? I want to make Erie County an even better place to live and work. That's the big, hairy, audacious goal that we're all working for. And so long-term, what does that look like? Well, we've got to understand where are the gaps, right? We're going to be collaborators here at the college, not competitors. If there's already, whether it's another public or a private entity doing this that meets the need and serves students well in that process, I don't need to jump in there. What I need to do is say, where are the needs not being met? I'll tell you just off of early information of our student applicants to start classes here in a little less than a month. Our rate of students that are non-white is almost 4 times what the county is. So that means our saturation level and those people of color, we are seeing an exorbitant amount of people of color saying, I need that community college. It can make a difference in my life. Well, what's going to happen if we can help skill up or train up a group that hasn't been served by higher education? We can put them into the workforce. That's going to make a difference. So I can give you really specific deliverables and metrics, but I think the bigger picture is how well are we helping Erie County grow? That's really the metric, the ultimate metric, the goal that we need to keep an eye on.
Wow, those numbers that you just gave us about applicant data are terrific to hear about. Are there any other early applicant data stats that you'd like to share with us? Maybe some other numbers that have surprised you?
Sure. I'd love to share it again. This is me with raw data at 8:30 at night back in my hotel trying to decompress for the night. But let me just share a couple things because I think this is fascinating information and it's going to really help those folks that were saying, I'm not sure we need the community college. It might be duplicative. Here's why it's not. Let me just quickly go through a couple things here. I happen to have this on my desk. So about 25% of the people that have applied already have a college degree. They're coming back to retool, to skill up, to rebuild confidence. Over a third of the students have not graduated from high school. So that means they dropped out or they have a GED. Here's what's fascinating to me. I would not have guessed this. I would tell you, we know 80% of students in their freshman year of college switch or change majors. But we always think in college, well, what are you going to major? When somebody says I'm going to college, first question, what do you study? Well, the reality is for 4 out of 5 students, and that's not just community college, that's everywhere. 4 out of 5 change within the first year. So I'm going to argue we should think about college differently. We should say we know the jobs are going to exist in 9 years. Most of them aren't even thought of at this point. So let's teach broad skills. Let's teach really good critical thinking. Let's teach really good systems. Let's teach really strong lean processes because those are the skills that can apply to everything. But so with that, I expected to see most of our students would come in the liberal arts track. We have 3 different tracks, computer networking, business management with a focus in entrepreneurial thinking, and liberal arts, which is kind of your general education or your undecided track. I would have told you most are going to come in liberal arts and so forth. I was wrong about that. 1 in 4 of our students has specifically said, I want to be in that business management and entrepreneurial thinking degree. 1 in 5 has said, I want that networking. About the same number have done the liberal arts. And then we have a lot that say, I don't know. I might just take a course or two. I might take a whole array of courses. But it gets even more fascinating when we continue to look at the demographic data. There are only, gotta do the math here real quick, 14, less than 20% of all the applicants to Erie County Community College as of the date I ran this data were 21 or younger. So 80%, they range. We got folks that are 18 years old that applied. And our oldest one at the time of this is about 69 years old. 80% of them are what we would consider adult learners, over 21. So not fresh out of high school. Maybe they've gone out of high school, they picked up a retail job, or they're working in the service industry. They're saying, nope, this isn't for me. I want to go back and get skilled up so I can get that livable wage job. That's fascinating to see that. Again, more evidence why we're not duplicative here, right? The universities primarily, and again, I don't have the local context yet. Typically, universities are drawing that, looking at straight out of high school, that 18 to 21 is their primary target. So you're seeing 80% of our students are not in there already. And when 1 in 3 of them is a person of color, that's significant, right? And when you look at our county data, we're nowhere near that. So 1 in 3, so pretty fascinating. It tells you we're serving a population that may not have been served as well by the current system. And so we can figure out ways to partner with them, skill them up, get them ready, and then maybe feed them in. Folks that would have never been in the education system now can start with us. We can build them the confidence, the basic educational skills, the basic knowledge. And they can either go right into the workforce, or if they want to go on for that baccalaureate degree, we're going to kick them out of here more prepared and more confident and ready to go change the world.
That concludes this edition of Business Spotlight featuring the Erie Regional Chamber and Growth Partnership. Thanks to both Dr. Chris Gray and Amy Murdoch for joining us for today's program discussing the Erie County Community College. Thanks for listening to Business Spotlight on Money Radio WPSE. Join us again next week as Logistics Plus is in the Business Spotlight.